In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I told you yesterday, I think, that you have to live in your heart, and that all over the scriptures there are examples of living in the heart, and they're everywhere. Well, we have two more of them today in the gospel and the epistle, or one of each that's read. And I want to tell you something about hermeneutics. It's a big word. Hermeneutics is to understand the meaning of the scripture. Now, hermeneutics to some people means they get out a pipe and they smoke it and they come up with all this stuff. That's not what hermeneutics is. Hermeneutics is not to be professorial about it, but to find out, how does it touch your heart? Because if it doesn't touch your heart, just read the phone book. It doesn't matter. Or read a romance novel. It really doesn't matter. If this doesn't touch your heart, then you're getting no benefit whatsoever from it. So this story about the Sadducees coming to him and Jesus and saying about this ridiculous idea that a woman would have seven husbands and never had a child, and which husband would she have in the next life, it was in order to mock the resurrection, because the Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrection. So they were mocking him here. They were not asking a real question. They were mocking him. And so he told them, not really. He answered the question a little differently than they would have intended. And he answered the question that you should hear in your heart. You should hear his answer resonate in your heart. First of all, he says what the resurrection is like. That they're not given in marriage. The angels, sons of the resurrection. How do we know that? We know that not just because he said it. Because people say things all the time. And we might believe them, but then when push comes to shove, we don't really act upon our belief. We don't really believe it. We know this by experience. The church knows this by experience. To be what sons of the resurrection are. And that it transcends normal human experience of buying and selling and having children and having a wife or a husband. Beyond all of that, you know that from your heart, from living in your heart. That's how you understand that. And then there's an interpretation that the Lord gave that if you don't have live in your heart, then this interpretation makes no sense whatsoever. Because when the Lord says to Moses, I am the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, he's not saying that Jesus' interpretation is here. But that interpretation follows if you understand who God is. Because God created man to be eternal. So, of course, man would be alive. And God would be the God of the living, not of the dead. So if he mentions he's the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, well, it makes no sense to say I'm the God of dead people. That's the interpretation that Jesus gives this. And it's a true and certain interpretation coming from the mouths of our Savior himself. But even if he had not said this, one of the fathers would have said it. Because it is manifest by the Christian life, if you live in your heart. This is critically important. People live according to rules. There's only one rule. I told you about the one rule yesterday, or the one answer. And then I said there's two answers. Sometimes I say there's three answers. I'm not always consistent. But they're all really the same answer. So every question can be answered by love. Every question can be answered by Jesus Christ. Every answer, what was the other thing that I told you yesterday? Now I'm forgetting it. It was love and Jesus Christ, and now I just lost it. But basically, everything is answered by knowing God and living according to him. Oh, and the other answer is living in the heart. If you live in your heart, then you understand all things, because God is in the heart. Let's look at the epistle in this light, because I've told you the story about Father Zacharias. He said in his monastery, which is in England, he said they don't have very many rules. They don't need them because the brothers love one another, and so they live in harmony, and they just naturally know what they should do. If you love, then you naturally know that you shouldn't slander a person. You shouldn't, you know, take the last piece of pie when you know it's their favorite. You shouldn't belittle someone. You shouldn't put yourself first. I mean, you don't need to be told not to take the last piece of pie if you love someone who loves pie. It's very easy. It takes no effort whatsoever to know that, well, I'm going to leave that last piece of pie for them because I know they really love pie. It's as simple as that. That you don't need rules. You don't need rules about sharing or anything else. And this is what the epistle really is talking about. So St. Paul is talking to the Galatians about the law. And he says, before faith came, we were guarded under the law. And the law hath been a tutor to us. The law basically said, don't do this stuff. Like, duh, don't murder. Don't commit adultery. Don't steal your neighbor's ass or cow. Don't covet. Don't lie. That's what the law said. The law said, you're bad because you do those things. You shouldn't do those things. But what does he say here? With faith having come, we are no longer under a tutor. For all are sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. And this next line is why we don't need laws, except for one, and that is the law of love. For as many as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And then he further explains it. And he could have gone much further than this. You could have said 100 different comparisons. There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's not slave or free. There's not male or female. For you're all in one in Christ Jesus. If we have been baptized in Christ, we put on Christ. If you put on Christ, you become like Christ. If you become like Christ, did Christ need to ask whether or not he should steal, or he should slap back when he was slapped on the cheek, or that he should give some sort of rejoinder when he was called Beelzebub? Of course not. Because Christ knew all things. He knew what is right and what is wrong. So if we put on Christ, we don't need a law. Now the only way to know that, to know what is right and what is wrong, is to live with Christ in the heart and live in the heart. Otherwise, we get confused about things. But when we live in the heart, everything is immediately apparent. It's easily known. Try to live your life in the heart. That's the most critical thing. It's more important than anything else. Now, if you can, you know, learn Christian theology and read the, we're celebrating St. John Damascene today. He wrote exact exposition of the Orthodox, of the Christian faith. It's a beautiful exposition, has a lot of philosophy, and it's really considered to be an infallible work by one of our fathers. And it's very, very useful. Maybe you'll read it. Maybe you'll understand it. Maybe you'll be able to understand what this Greek word means and that Greek word means. That's fine if you can do those things. But the most critical thing that you can do in your life is not read the exact exposition, but live the exact exposition. And you don't need to read it to live it. You don't need to be told it to live it. You know it from living in the heart. So the law now has been superseded. It hasn't been abolished. The Lord said he didn't abolish the law. He superseded the law with him. He's the new law. And the new law is be like Christ. So if you're like Christ, then that's easy to make your decisions. Just like that. You live in the heart. Now, this is true. What I'm telling you is absolutely the gospel truth. No doubt about it. But it's difficult to enact because we have so much junk going on in our hearts. And so we get confused about things. And that's why we need to put ourselves in obedience to someone. And that's why we need to go to confession, and why we need to come to communion, and why we need to come to the services, why we need to make sure that we're reading the Psalms and the Gospels. All those things are necessary because of our fallenness. But they are things that should come out of Jesus being in your heart. So you don't need to be told. Now, I keep telling you, and because present company accepted, for the most part, I tell people things and they don't do them. I tell them to read the Gospels, and I ask them about, have they read the Gospels? And they're like, well, I try to. Whenever you hear somebody answer a question, I try to, it means I'm not doing it. But we should be doing it. And if God is in our heart, then we're forced to do it. Not by God. He's not going to force you. And not by anybody else. Not by me. By yourself. By living in the heart. It's really an easy way of life. It's an easy way. It's the easy yoke. With God in the heart, we start to learn everything. So we have to look at the spiritual meaning of things. And the reason I started with this, with the interpretation that the Lord had about the burning bush, is because that interpretation is not given in the Scripture except by Him, right? He does the original, when Moses is by the burning bush and the Lord says, I'm the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, it's not immediately apparent that that means God is the God of the living. But that's what it means. And it means that to anybody who lives with the God who is the God of the living, you understand things by knowing them in your heart. That's the way I want you to read Scripture. You read Scripture so that God speaks to your heart. He's not going to tell you what kind of car to buy or whether or not to take a job or not. But He is going to tell you that are holy and good and spiritual. And sometimes you're going to read something and it's just going to shake you up. And it's going to be with you for the rest of your life. It happens to me all the time. And it doesn't matter if you remember it or not. That doesn't matter. God is above memory. I mean, memory is a fallible thing. You know, we think we remember something and we don't. We misremember a person's name or this or that. Human memory is extremely fallible. If our salvation was dependent on us learning Christian truths and then remembering them with our brains, we'd be in big trouble. What about people when they grow old and they lose their memory? What about when they go into dementia? Does that mean they're no longer Christian? Not at all. You remember them in your heart, and the heart doesn't forget. So try to live life in your heart. This is yet another example. The scriptures are replete with them. Today, in the gospel about the Sadducees and that ridiculous story about the seven, it's all about the heart and about the law and how the law was a tutor. And now the law is superseded by Christ. Not abolished, but superseded. Now, how do you know how to follow the law? Not by having the law tell you stuff anymore. You don't need to be told that. You need to be told and believe him and live according to him. And everything's explained. We live life in the heart. Glory be to God that the Lord made us with a deep heart.